Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike down here in Arizona land. I am in rare form this morning. I'm madder than a wet hen. I don't know. Sometimes I'm just going to have to consider the source and move on. And being that this is a very limited amount of time here on Liberty Tree Radio, I'm just going to get right into it. Good morning. This is Mike down here in Arizona land. Today is the 26th of November, 2018. It's a Monday. You're tuned in to Liberty Tree Radio. It's about 9 minutes after 9 a.m. Arizona time. Your mind is your primary weapon. Time permitting, if I don't run off the mouth too long, I'll get back to our block of instruction about the evolution of a revolt, talking about the laying out of Lawrence of Arabia in the Hijaz 100 years ago. Thanks for taking the time to tune in today. And please tell your friends about Liberty Tree Radio. We got to expand this knowledge base. We're going to dedicate today's broadcast to Lily Grace Antoinette. My email address is altabib762@hotmail.com. Alpha, Lima, Tango, Hotel, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, Bravo, 762@hotmail.com. I've got a tremendous amount of border information here. This stuff's stacking up so fast I can't get it out quick enough. Robert Miner, his telephone number is 701-251-2365. 701-251-2365. And since we've been talking about it since January, I'm not going to go through all the prompts and do this and do that and call that. And you know the drill. Let's see. A couple of observations that, being that there's been a lot of the news and re-airs and rebroadcasts and holiday, Thanksgiving, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there was an incident in Tijuana, Mexico. It's another one of those look over here stories. But an approximate amount of 500 illegal aliens, not migrants, illegal aliens, stormed a fence. Now, the Border Patrol used tear gas to break up the mob. Oh, most of the news media is failing to tell you that they were throwing rocks at the Border Patrol. They weren't just jumping and scaling the fence and had somehow cut through the concertina wire, et cetera, et cetera. But there was a comment this morning about Alicia Cortez comparing it. She likened using the gas on the children. She likened it to the Holocaust, so for what it's worth. Was made aware of an article out of the LA Times this week and had to do with an actor down here on the border, a patriot, and that goes by the handle of Little Dog. His name is Robert Crooks. LA Times, he's down in California at a place called Patriot Point. And I contacted him, and by his estimate that the Border Patrol, they've brought in about 450 new Border Patrol agents to the southern border. They appears, because his conversations with them, they're all from Montana and North Dakota, et cetera, et cetera. So they're pulling them from the north border. Could have something to do because they got 12 feet of snow up there and nobody's crossing in that wasteland at this time of the year. They're doubling up. Not only is there double the amount of Border Patrol vehicles that you'd normally encounter along the southern border, but instead of having one agent per vehicle, there's at least two per vehicle. So that's that. Also, another observation I made, monitoring a lot of different broadcasts, that this weekend, and I'm not sure if it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, who cares, but it was, and that whether it was a live or it was a tape, that's, but I was listening to Rush Limbaugh, and it was sometime last week, late last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and making a connection between this Khashoggi guy, and because he's a columnist, that, I wonder if that's a fifth columnist, from the Washington Post and Saudi Arabia and Turkey, et cetera, et cetera. And then he comes up with this question about, well, let me ask you, how many reporters have died in Mexico? And he came up with some number, like 30 of them in the last 2 years or so. And then he made a comment about, well, nobody's reporting on that. Well, Rushy Poo, I've been talking about it for years, so you can't make a blanket statement and say nobody's talking about it, because you're not talking about it, because it's just an issue nowadays, because all you got all these Johnny-come-latelys that can't even spell southern border, but now all of a sudden, because it's become an issue, then everybody wants to jump on and commentary and et cetera, et cetera. Let's see. I'm just getting warmed up, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just getting warmed up. I've been talking about this issue for years, and I don't agree. Part of it has to do because of where I live, because I deal with it on a daily basis. Now, there's other networks, a couple of them, the big broadcasters down in around San Antonio and Round Rock, Texas, that they, all of a sudden now it's become an issue. You know, in the past, all they wanted to do was talk about Syria and Yemen and North Korea and Ukraine and, you know, look over here story. You got even somebody on here, and, you know, he's going to tell you what really happened. And the other, and so I'm kind of odd as to where they just choose not to talk about it, because for the most part is what I can determine, they don't look for the information that is out there readily available that is a threat to our country, but all they want to do is look at the headlines, and then they want to reinterpret or editorialize what's going on. Oh, well, this is what really happened. This didn't happen this way, but this is what really happened, and these guys and those guys, and blah, 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 blah. And as an example, and again, this was another one of those hard to determine of when it was actually said, because it was on the weekend rebroadcast, that the host made a comment about, well, we've been talking about it, you know, for years, and the border thing and the this and that, and let me tell you what's going on. Well, you know, just as an example, a while back, I'd say it's about a year, now we've covered it here on Your Mind as Your Primary Weapon, but there was a trial down in Texas. Seems to me it was either in San Antonio or Waco, about one of these higher-ups in the Zetas, Los Zetas, that he had been found guilty, and I think he got like 5 life sentences or something. Some of these things blur after a while, and no, I'm not going to go back through my paperwork to find the exact day and the when I, where it was. It was on Borderland Beat, but anyway. So when this was going on, I had called into that broadcast and asked the host who runs the network out of Round Rock, Texas, and I had said, you know, some of this information is kind of hard to, and it was kind of along the lines of, I think it was one of them open phones, because there's no show prep on that side. They just slide into the chair 2 minutes before the broadcast starts, and then they just, oh, well, we're going to open the phones up today. That's a pretty good indication that they didn't how serious they take their broadcast, because there is no prep. It's just like, well, let's just take calls and maybe we can fill up a couple of hours of airtime. And so I called in and asked them if I made a comment, chicken or the egg, however it is, about this Zeta trial going on in Texas. And I says, oftentimes the mainstream media doesn't talk about these issues. And the talk show host made a comment, something along the lines of about, well, you basically have answered your own question because you had just said that the mainstream media is not reporting on it. So I mentioned that, well, it has been reported in the Dallas Morning News. Oh, well, thanks for the information. I got the full board of calls, and thanks for the call. Goodbye. So that's the example of, you know, oh, we've been talking about it for years, but you got a trial of a main cartel member going on in the state where they live, and for some reason they choose not to, because they want to distract you from and talk about issues like Syria or Saudi Arabia and Yemen or North Korea, criticize President Trump and he's not doing enough, blah, 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 blah. Well, also on the same network this morning, they've got one guy comes on there every week on Mondays and all they do is talk about guns. And now, all of a sudden, this morning I tune in and they're talking about the convoy and the ho and the this and the that and the blah, 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 blah. And a couple of odd things that I noticed that, well, you know, the guest that prattles on about guns endlessly, about your most worthless piece of equipment, he's, oh, well, you know, we got these gangs like MS-13 and other gangs that they're setting up sleeper cells here in the United States, and, you know, these people are going to come over here and blah, 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 blah. How many years ago did I tell you that the cartels and their affiliates have established themselves in at least 1,000 U.S. cities? That was at least 2 years ago. But, of course, anyway, now, sometimes it's half full, half empty, silver lining, you know, so I'll look at the silver lining on every dark cloud, that at least, finally, they're talking about it. But part of me wants to tell you, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Now all of a sudden the same people on the Prattle Buy More Guns network for Monday's broadcast, oh, well, you know, there's been reports of about Hamas in Mexico, and then the guy comes along and, oh, but they're training them and this and that, and, oh, well, you know, it's going to be just a matter of time. And you know, these people aren't cartels, they're terrorists. How long ago did I tell you about that these people, that I've identified them as insurgents? But that just is another point of to how shallow these other people are, because first off, they haven't been talking about it at all. Now, all of a sudden, they're, oh, situational awareness. Oh, there was an article in the so-and-so in San Antonio and people in concealed carry and gangs at shopping malls and carjacking people, blah, 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 blah. Just as another example on how far removed, out of the loop, that a listener to the broadcast had contacted another network of about getting me up there to try to raise the awareness. And this was at least a year ago. I could look it up. I could most likely tell you exactly what date and where it was. And it was kind of odd, too, because it got contacted with the talk show host, not the runner of the network, and it wanted to bring me up for what was going on down on the border. And I thanked them for that. I brought it up, but it was kind of sad because you had the host, you had these assistant co-host, And then they had like two other people on there. And so there was a total of five people, quote unquote, being interviewed. And I don't know, I might have got 30 seconds in there. And then there's a person that been on that network that he's kind of a go-to guy. But just as an example of how far out of the loop that they actually are, then he makes some comment referring to me, and it's like, oh, well, I don't know. Does your guest know that the Zetas were trained by the Green Berets? And I'm like, I didn't say anything because I was just a guest on there and I was trying to be civil about it. But let's, since we branched off here into the Zetas, now, a quick history lesson. They used to be the enforcers, the security group for the Gulf Cartel. And 20 years ago, 20 of them were brought to the United States and trained by the United States Army's Green Berets, and at least 90% of them are in jail or dead. So the point that I bring out is that these things down here on the border, they change by moment, minute by minute, 20 seconds, and not 20 years. And so some of these quote-unquote experts that want to talk about these issues, I just find it odd that they want to take some number from 20 years ago and apply it today as to where it's supposed to have some significant meaning. And it just demonstrates to me how far out of the loop that these people actually are. But, oh, well, I'm a so-and-so, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's just kind of the point that I try to make that, you know, you need a program, and you better be aware of what's going on. And this isn't just something that you wind up because the mainstream news media is talking about it. It's something going on. And it doesn't have anything to do with the border. I brought you that one about the 14-year-old girl that got beheaded by members of the Sinaloa cartel in Alabama. Did you hear anybody else talk about that? I doubt it. As an example, and I'm just getting warmed up today, ladies and gentlemen. So here's another issue. A founder of Los Zetas, Z-12, is stabbed to death when arriving at Nuevo Laredo prison. Luis Reyes Enriquez, alias El Rex, or Zeta 12, founder of the ex-military group Los Zetas, formerly armed wing of the Gulf Cartel, was stabbed to death in Nuevo Laredo prison this weekend, where he had just been detained and an arrest warrant was executed. Reyes Enriquez was under the direct orders of Asiel Cardenas Guillen. He's completed his sentence in the Federal Social Readaptation Center of Mahuatlan de Porfirio Diaz in the state of Oaxaca. When he was released, he was again apprehended on charges filed in the state of Tamaulipas and was transferred to the Nuevo Laredo prison where he was stabbed to death this weekend. Now, it's a fairly, I pulled this one out, I think it's most likely, the most recent one here is dated, it's the 23rd, and today is the 26th. So this is in, I don't think that they mean that it was just in the last couple of days, because obviously the 23rd was Friday, so it was the previous weekend. A founder of the Los Zetas, Z-12, is stabbed to death. But I told you that most of them, at least 90% of the original 20 that were trained 20 years ago are either dead or in prison, or they just got killed in prison. You're listening to Liberty Tree Radio. Today is the 26th of November, 2018. It's a Monday. Also had a call from a listener and mentioned the 72 articles that I've been covering generally over on the micro effect, because we have a little bit more time, because obviously now we're already down at the bottom of the hour. And if you'd like to call in, telephone here is 712-432-0900, 712-432-0900. Once you get there, the voice comes in, and the room number is 957-464, and then the pound sign, 957-464, and then the pound sign. And if you'd like to come up, you can press *6 to unmute your phone. Oh, I got some Who coming in here. I'm going to join together with the band, or you can be day late and a dollar short. It's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Well, just in the nick of time, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. This is Mike down here in Arizona land. Today is the 26th of November, 2018. It's a Monday.
The truck is our baby. And like any baby, it's loud.
Your mind is your primary weapon. I covered quite a few things today. We'll see if we can get back to the evolution of a revolt. Thanks for taking the time to tune in today. Please tell your friends about Liberty Tree Radio. As always, we dedicate today's broadcast to Lily Grace Antoinette. My email address is altabib762@hotmail.com, and that's Alpha Lima Tango, Hotel Alpha, Bravo Echo Bravo, 762@hotmail.com. I covered one tiny border news item about a founder of the Los Zetas, Z12. He was stabbed to death in the Nuevo Laredo prison. But, of course, all we're going to hear about is tear gas in Tijuana. Let's see. What else did we cover? We talked about some of the other networks prattling on about every other issue except what it is. But only when it becomes an issue, then they get to. Also heard somebody on that other network that lives in Hawaii trying to tell you what really happened. And he wants to say, oh, well, you know, oh, there's bad things going on down there in the border. I don't think it's a good idea that you people go down to the border. You just need to stay away from there. Yeah, it's easy for you to say while you're 3,000 miles away from the Mexican border, safe and sound in. Oh, but remember when North Korea was firing them missiles, it was everybody's got all their, in a, oh, because they're going to launch a nuclear bomb here into Hawaii, and oh, I might not be here tomorrow. Oh, poor me, send more money. I mentioned the other day, about a week or so ago on Friday's broadcast, that Mark was on the road and something had happened to his phone, and let's see, that would have been the 26th, 10 days ago, on the afternoon intel report of about expanding here on Liberty Tree Radio. So in addition to Monday's broadcast, that will be going to Tuesday, or at least as it looks right now, most likely around the first of the year, January of 2019, that will be expanding out in the afternoon. So after the first 2 hours of the afternoon intelligence report and the slot that used to be held down by Joe in the Carolinas, Grow Your Own, and that has become available, and there's a good possibility as it stands right now, we'll be taking over that hour at that time frame. So it would be between the second and the third hour of the intel report, after the first 2 hours of the afternoon, before we transition into the evening intel report, that previous. Also, just as a heads up, we reported on it that this morning, less than an hour ago, the MEA has been out here again. So it looks like things are heating up, and obviously that from the telephone call that I had with Robert Crooks this weekend, that the military is going to be taking over that area there around what's referred to as Patriot Point. And I don't know if they're going to force them out, they're going to ask them to leave, or however it is, but that appears to be what's going on. So as the, once again, I'd mentioned before in the 72 articles that this is a three-dimensional battlefield. It's only what, it's not only what's going on the ground at your feet, and it's out ahead of you in the next tree line and to the left and the right and behind you, but it's also what's up in the air in your situational awareness. And my observation is they're not going to launch a multi-million dollar surveillance aircraft to deliver flowers and pizza. There's a reason for it. And in southern Arizona, now, once again, And it appeared in the past that there were quite a few of them out here, and now they had been absent for quite a while, and now all of a sudden, about once a week, they're back out here again. So one of these deals that I tell you is when the news media starts reporting on something and says, look over here, Tijuana, tear gas, etc., that there's other things that are going on that they're not telling you specifically, purposely, because they want to draw your attention away from there. They are not migrants. They are illegal aliens. Once again, I just kind of question this whole part of about the illegal aliens wanting to flee from violence in Central America. So then why would they come up to the most dangerous city in the world, Tijuana? Yeah, there was another article here, if I can find it real quick. Again, I'd like to cover over some of these previous articles because they're stacking up. Some of these other ones are back from 12th of November, let alone what happened just in the last two or three days. But here's one. This one is also from BorderlandBeat.com. Tijuana slaughter continues. 17 executed in 25 hours. In Tijuana, the number of intentional homicides reached 141 victims so far this November. In the last 25 hours, 17 crimes were recorded. Only three of the deceased have been identified. The recent incidents, around 7:39 hours on November 20, an unknown man aged around 45 years old died from gunshot wounds in Privada Capulinas, in the Rubia del Bosque subdivision. Then at 7:55 hours, it was located inside a black plastic bag, a human head severed from a male. The discovery took place at Vicente Guerrero Street, Mariano Matamoros Sewer neighborhood, La Presa Delegation. So, for what it's worth. So I just kind of wonder, so 141 people have been killed in Tijuana just here in November, but the news media wants to distract you and talk about tear gas and babies and strollers and concertina wire and how evil the president is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm not sure because I see we've only got about 16-17 minutes left on the broadcast today. I'm not sure if it would be worthwhile to get back to our lesson on the revolt in the desert. But then again, if I keep bumping it like everything else, then chances are it'll be next year, next November 2019, before we were able to wrap some of these things up. Now, as we've been covering these events over in modern-day Saudi Arabia, that discussing the parts of about insurgency and how Lawrence was able to identify the center of gravity with the Turks because of their abundance of rails, because they had planned on running the rail from Berlin to Baghdad, and then there was a couple of southern spurs. One ran to Palestine, and then another one crossed over the Euphrates River at Karmakesh, and then was going to continue southward down to the tip of the Arabian Peninsula and what we refer to nowadays as Yemen. So they had stockpiled a lot of these rails. So initially, blowing up the railroad lines, they were being able to be repaired rather quickly because of the abundance of rails. And they also came across the part of about, but they had a limited amount of curved rails, so they would select curved. Kind of sounds like what Singulab did of, I think that was in World War II, in the OSS, of about blowing up curved rail lines because they had assessed their, not warehouses, stockyards or however it was, a place where they had stored the rails as to where, but they only had a limited amount of curved rails. So instead of blowing up straight lines, because they had an abundance of those in World War II, over in wherever that was, where Sinyalov, was he in, you know, CBI, or was he in Europe per se, on how that part came about, but they identified that as to attack the curved rails and not the straight rails. But also Lawrence realized that to the Turks, the people were pretty insignificant. They'd just go snatch a couple more people and force them into the Turkish army. So the human factor didn't mean anything to the Turks, but what their real center of gravity was the rail line, protecting the rail line, and most importantly, the locomotives, because you could blow up the rail, and they'd have it back in shape in, you know, depending on where it was and how bad the damage was, within a relatively short amount of time, a couple, 3 days, maybe a week. But they could not replace the locomotives. So that was where the pressure mines and the detonator boxes and the crudeness of that part. And also a mention on how Lawrence didn't, he studied the raiding practices of the Arabs that had been practicing raiding parties for 1,000 years. And then he added more modern equipment to that, the machine gun, explosives, airplanes, armored cars. Now, he also points out, because the illiteracy of the Arabs was not really harmful. And since they worked intentionally in small numbers and explained their plan verbally to everyone, it's something also that we pointed out about what was going on in Afghanistan back in the 1980s. You didn't see a lot of people when you have pictures of Ahmad Shah Massoud explaining an attack on some Soviet type of a deal. You notice that there's ain't nobody out there with a paper and pencil in their hand, because number one, they can't read or write, so there would be no use to hand out a piece of paper written in Tajik, Pashtun, Uzbek, because they couldn't read. So, and also the nice thing is if they were captured by the Soviets, they wouldn't have find any incriminating evidence about the plans about, well, we're going to attack this blockhouse tomorrow, and these guys are coming from this direction, and this one's here, and these guys are going to block the road, and we've got Stinger missiles up on the hill here, et cetera, et cetera. Because the observation that Lawrence made was because of their very illiteracy had trained them to a longer memory and a closer hearing of the news. So they actually paid attention to the briefings. And Lawrence's tactics were too subtle, for they had to be translated into independent action through the heads of the followers, and the success was impossible unless most of them used their intelligence to forward the conception against the moral and material accidents of the path. And the dilution of the tactical ability to the level of the lowest interpreter was regrettable, but it was not all lost, because the only alternative would be independent enterprise and a mediocre design, and that would, if that was persisted in, it's grander than a series of brilliant expedients, and then it's going to be able to overcome the Turks in the end. And by careful persistence and kept strictly within the Arab strength and following the spirit of the theories that Lawrence had put forward, that they were able eventually to reduce the Turks to hopelessness and helplessness, and then the complete victory seemed to be almost within the sight when General Allenby, by his immense stroke in Palestine, threw the enemy's main force into hopeless confusion, and then they put an immediate end to the Turkish war. And if you've ever seen the movie Lawrence of Arabia, they make comment about a sideshow of a sideshow, as actually that in the movie it's supposed to be Allenby said that, but as far as I know, that Lawrence was the one that put that forward. But he explained to Allenby that the reasoning behind this was about, we can tie the Turks down over here, because if we do this, then they're just going to fall back and reinforce their line in Palestine, Syria, Damascus, or wherever it was, and it does no good to actually capture these people and take them to Egypt, because then we're going to have tents and food and water and guards to guard all these 20,000 prisoners of war. So it's better just to leave them where they are, and we're just going to continue to harass them. So Lawrence and the Arabs were very happy to have done with all their plans, but sometimes, since Lawrence had felt a private regret that his too greatness deprived him of the opportunity of following to the end the dictum of Sachs, that the war might be won without fighting battles, because it was an irony of fate to entrust the sideshow of a sideshow with its opportunity of providing or disproving the theory to an outsider like Lawrence, because not qualified technically to make the best of it. Because remember, he was a trained archaeologist, and just by chance when he was at Oxford, he came across a lot of these writings about Sachs and Jomini and Clausewitz and folk and everything. And so Lawrence felt that he would have given so much to show that Sachs was the greatest master of his kind of war, but now all that Lawrence could say is that they had worked by his light for 2 years and the work stood. And that's a pragmatic argument that cannot be wholly derided. But unfortunately, the Arab campaign lacked a historian as much as an exultant. And so now Lawrence would try to write down what he did and why, and some of the principles look like truisms that mankind would so rather believe in sophism. And some look contradictory. Now, the fault must be either in Lawrence's exposition or in his observation, because savage warfare seems never to have been thought out in the English from the savage point of view, and the Arab revolt would have been a great opportunity for a thinker to test its possibilities on a grand scale, because the Arab war was so odd and so far away that coy authority left them to pretty much themselves, a sideshow of a sideshow. But they had no base machinery, no formal staff, no clerks, no government, no telegraphs, no public opinion, no troops of British nationality, no honor, and no conventions. And the experiment, as Lawrence claimed, was a thrilling one, and which took all of their wits, because they believed that they would prove irregular war or rebellion to be an exact science and an inevitable success, and that was granted the factors it pursued along the certain lines. And they did not prove it because the war stopped, but the thesis is it seemed that rebellion must have an unassailable base, something guarded not merely from attack, but from the fear of it. on such a base as that they had on the Red Sea ports, the desert, or in the minds of the men that they converted to their creed. And it must have been a sophisticated alien enemy in the form of a disciplined army of occupation, too small to fulfill its doctrine of acreage and too few to adjust number to space, because in order to dominate the whole area effectively from the fortified post. And it must have a friendly population, not actively friendly, but sympathetic to the point of not betraying rebel movements to the enemy. And the rebellions can be made by 2% active in a striking force and 98% passively sympathetic. And the few active rebels must have the quality of speed and endurance, ubiquity and independence of arteries of supply, and they must have the technical equipment to destroy or paralyze the enemy's organized communications, because for irregular war is fairly Willison's definition of strategy, and that's, quote, the study of communications, end quote, in its extreme degree, because of the attack where the enemy is not, and in 50 words, granted mobility, security in the form of denying targets to the enemy, time and doctrine, the idea to convert every subject to friendliness, victory will rest with the insurgents, for the algebraic factor are in the indecisive, and against them perfections of means and spirit struggle quite in vain. And that's the story of the evolution of a revolt. It's also, I have an interesting article here from Smithsonian Magazine, and it's from May of 1991. So what's that, like 30 years ago, or pretty close thereof. And it has to do with how the modern Middle East map came to be drawn. Now, obviously, we don't have time for that today. And it talks about who did what to who, and the Iraqi forces, and the Turks did this, and World War One that, and Gallipoli, and the Middle East, and Lawrence, and Faisal. It's quite interesting on how these concepts came to be. And maybe, time permitting, one of these days, we'll get on with it. But certainly not today, because we've only got about 2 minutes left or so about in today's broadcast. So we wrap the lesson up of about the revolt in the desert, and also back to the beginning of today's broadcast, that maybe this is, we could call it a word to the wise. So there's a lot of other Johnny-come-latelys, charlatans out there on both sides of the broadcast fence. And they're just headline readers. They poke around on the internet, and whatever seems to be what everybody else seems to talk about, then they want to come along and comment what everybody else is talking about and give you their version, their editorialization of what was really happening. And they just missed the point. But now I notice that there's a bunch of these Johnny-come-latelys. Now all of a sudden they want to be experts on what's going on the border. But a year or two or more ago, they most likely couldn't even find the border with a GPS and both hands and a flashlight. But then again, that's just my opinion. But your mind is your primary weapon, and that's my story, and I'm sticking with it, because the people that have been listening to your mind is your primary weapon, we already know about situational awareness. We already know that the cartels and their affiliates have already established themselves in 1,000 U.S. cities, and it's not something that's just going to happen right now. they've already established their safe houses, their stash houses, and this current crop of people that are coming in are infiltrating like the Viet Cong did from North Vietnam down to South Vietnam, and they're getting ready for the Tet Offensive, because your mind is your primary weapon. Now, remember, we're here at the end of the year, and we have a end-of-the-year bill for Liberty Tree Radio. So you can go to libertytreeradio.4mg.com, and please help contribute to Liberty Tree Radio. And also, just as a sideline, these broadcasts that we bring you here on Monday, that's a separate bill from the Liberty Tree Radio, and it costs $300 a year to put this broadcast on. And then if we're going to expand out to Tuesday, in addition, that's going to be another $300 a year to bring you 2 hours a week for 52 weeks of your mind as your primary weapon. So, you know, you have to put forward to keep Liberty Tree Radio on the air. I grant that. But then again, if you find the information here on your mind as your primary weapon, it's not free. It costs a lot of money. And if you want it to expand out, if you plan on listening to what's being presented on your mind as your primary weapon, or maybe you can make a separate contribution to Liberty Tree Radio, tuck a note in with your contribution, your monetary contribution, and say, well, here's $10 for Liberty Tree Radio, but here's another $5, $10 for your mind as your primary weapon. Because, you know, if we have 50 listeners, and I know we do, and each one would send in $10 a year, so that's even less than a dollar a month, to keep your mind as your primary weapon here on Liberty Tree Radio, then we could spread this out so the bill isn't having to be foot by just a couple of people. Now, obviously, we know that somewhere between 35 and 50 people are listening on Liberty Tree Radio because of the numbers, so it's not an unrealistic goal. And once again, if somebody is paying for it, and because you can listen live for free, but somebody else is paying for it, and this isn't socialism, because maybe you need to go over here and listen to Alicia Cortez, that she thinks that this socialism stuff, that somebody else is going to pay for it. But in my opinion, if you're listening for free and not contributing to Liberty Tree Radio, you're a thief, because you're taking something from somebody else that already paid for it. So which side of the fence are you on? We need your help, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike down here in Arizona land, 26 November 2018. It's a Monday. Thanks for listening, and we'll send this one out to Lily Grace Antoinette. Thanks. I'll see you.
common. I'm only passing through. People are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, my brain. Used to care, but things have changed. Walking 40 miles of bad road. The Bible is right, the world was slow. I've been trying to get as far away from